This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Mark Carlaw, stepping in for Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we talk the vital win at Wolves, the reaction to the supposedly controversial VAR call, the worrying and terribly timed injury to Jarrod Bowen, our crucial run-in, the huge game on Thursday before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. So here we are then, another show. Obviously, Dave's not available. X, he's a bit unwell. And how are you feeling, mate? Because I know that you've been a little bit under the weather from the last few weeks. Are you all right?
I'm so, mate. One day is better than the other. Honestly, I've never had something go on this long now, and brain injuries are clearly not the thing to enjoy. So, I've got a fifth week of this now, but I'll get there, mate. At the end of the day, there's people with worse and stuff, isn't there? So I'll get through it eventually. But yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle, not going to lie.
Yeah, you're a trooper, mate. You're a trooper. I like it. And here you are. And look, let's get on to the football. I mean, it's a busy period, isn't it, for West Ham now? Big, yeah, the busiest end of the season. But before we talk about the Wolves game, because there's a fair bit to talk about in that, let's go back a game before that, X. We talk about a Tottenham game. Obviously, you know, a huge rivalry with Tottenham. How do you think the game went? What was your feelings?
I thought we played quite well, to be honest with you, mate. A bit more composure in front of goal. I think we could have won that on a couple of occasions. And I thought, you know, considering Tottenham are pushing for Champions League spots and, you know, meant to be a bigger, better team than us, I thought we were the better side. Probably a draw, maybe, overall was the fair result. But if one team was to win it, I'd have said it would have been us. And I thought we did well. I thought defence played well. Thought Mavropanos is starting to really get quite consistent now, which is good, because we've needed some consistency at centre back, and I thought it was a good result. And as Martin Allen said in the show we did with him just before this, you know, picked up 4 points home and away against Spurs, which he would have taken at the start of the season. So it was a decent result.
Do you know what I don't notice, it is a dig at Spurs, why not, you know what I mean, but their fans, right? I've never known. I mean, bearing in mind where I sit at London Stadium, I'm on the corner. You know where that wall is on the West End. I sit right by that, so I'm right near the away fans. They are the worst fans I've ever had come to that London Stadium, and I'm not saying just from that game. I'm talking about for the last few years. They are a really odd bunch, considering the fact it's a London derby. Considering the fact they're fighting for Champions League football. It's not like they're down in a relegation battle and got not much to sing about. They are timid, they're quiet, they don't say anything. You wouldn't know they're there. The only time they give it is when they're a leading. When they score a goal, they give you some stick. Apart from that, I'm telling you, mate, they were silent. They are the worst. And I know I'm probably saying that because I'm a West Ham fan, it's Tottenham. But you'd think, wouldn't you, like going to a London derby, they'd be noisy and up for it. But I've never met such a timid bunch of fans.
Especially as they started the game so well as well. You know, it's not like they had to wait for a goal. Did they? Got it really early on. And and I think, they've always been like that. That's why their fan base always provokes West Ham fans, though, isn't it? Because, you know, I always find my Facebook. I don't use Facebook very often. But that when I used to, back in the day, I'd forget most of the what football team most of my friends supported on there, but I can always tell when who were Tottenham fans, because whenever West Ham lost to Tottenham or Tottenham beat Arsenal, suddenly they come out of the woodwork. You think, I forgot you support Spurs, then you don't hear from them again for the rest of the year. And that just sums them up. And I think that's why West Ham fans always have an issue with them, obviously the geography and other factors, but the fact they always pipe up when things have gone there in their favour, but when they don't, you never hear from them, and they say they don't care about football then. So,
yeah,
they are an annoying bunch, that's for sure.
Oh, mate, yeah, I'm funny enough, before we go on to the Wolves, that reminded me, when I was at the, wasn't this season, it was a couple of seasons back, and I was at work once, and Tottenham beat us, and I can't remember what the scoreline was or what game where it was now, but they beat us in the game. And this guy came up to me at my office, right, and I'd never spoken to this guy in my life, didn't really know he existed. And he came up to me because he must have heard I was part of the West Ham Way or something. And he was like, you're all right, we done you then. I was like, who are you? And it was like, I've never spoken to him before in my life. You know, you're like you say, that they just like, they love to glow. It's a, oh, all right. Such a fucking weird
I've got a similar story. Back in the day, for about 7 months in between university, I wonder if I'd ever be able to get back in touch with this guy, because I couldn't tell you his name, I couldn't even tell you what he looked like. But for about 7-8 months, I worked at Clinton Cards head office in Debden in HR. Basically, he's been between university, and they used to have a post room in the Clinton Cards, where obviously he'd send stuff out to the stores and cards, obviously, to the stores and stuff. And there was a guy in there that was a Tottenham fan. Like, he was really painfully shy. Like, you know, he wouldn't speak to you if you said hello to him more often than not. He'd ignore you. Like, he'd make no sort of attempt to, you know, communicate with you in the slightest. And then I remember Tottenham beat West Ham. So we must be talking about, it was the year West Ham went down, actually, under Rhoda. So whatever the results was around about that time.
2003, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2002, 2003, yeah. So I came into my desk. Like, we were in different departments. He was in the post room. I was in HR, and I made computer station thing. And all over my computer, he'd put Tottenham balloons, Tottenham scarf, Tottenham stickers. And I barely spoke to the guy before. And when I said to like my colleagues, oh, well done, who's done this? And they were like, we don't know. And it took me about a day or so to find out who'd actually done it. And then eventually someone confessed or told me it was him. And I went up to him. I went, oh, well done, mate, fair play. And he literally barely talked to me again after that. That's the only thing he could muster himself to do. Literally decimate my desk after Tottenham beat us. And they never speak to me again after that. So, strange individuals.
Yeah, I like this. This should be a section every week on the show. Just have a rant about Tottenham.
I think strange individuals is a very polite way of how Dave would describe them. But seeing as we don't have Dave on the show today, we'll keep it up for children's ears as well.
It's a bit more family friendly today. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like it. Right. So I agree with you, mate. I think it was a decent performance from West Ham against Tottenham, actually. I thought we played well. And like you, mate, I think if there was going to be a winner, I think it was us. But on reflection, it probably wasn't an unfair result, a draw. I thought the Tottenham did have their moments as well. And of course, we had a sort of typical period where we defended what we had, which I kind of understood. I think, because bearing in mind, this was following, wasn't it, the Newcastle sort of debacle. So I think actually we responded well, showed a bit of character.
Yeah, I agree.
Then we went on to Wolves. I mean, we want to talk about this period now because we're in the business end of the season. This is a really big game, Wolves. Bearing in mind, we've got Crystal Palace and Fulham coming up. Or it's actually our way around, Fulham and Crystal Palace coming up. But the Wolves game, for me, X, was a vital that we got the 3 points. And we did. What was your take on the game?
Well, to clone the old cliche, it was a game of two halves, wasn't it? I mean, it really was. Could have been more defining of that. It was terrible in the first half, like really poor performance. Started really slow, didn't seem to have any ideas, creativity, just vulnerable at the back again. And then credit to Moyes. You have to give him the credit. I mean, you could argue maybe he should have started with this team, but whatever the case, the credit for the halftime changes. I would have brought on Antonio, but I was surprised he brought on Johnson, but I'm glad he did because I thought Schaffel's looked not as good recently and we needed some more pace and directness down the flank from Johnson. And then the other big decision, which hasn't really been maybe talked about as much, was putting Crespo on and then pushing Emerson further forward. Yeah. When that substitution happened, I was like, what is he doing? You know, we've got Cornet, or you know, you could put Ings up there and put Antonio on the wing or whatever, but he did that decision. And absolutely, and then actually, Emerson, you know, won the penalty really well, scored a goal which was harshly disallowed, and then obviously we went on to win that game. And I thought so it was a good decisions tactically, and then we just played much better in the second half and got the win. And as you say, much needed 3 points. You know, they were close to us in the league. Hopefully, this win now, it's given us a bit of distance from them. And as you say, it gives us the platform to try and get a couple more wins and get that Europa League spot through the league position. So, yeah, a good result. Obviously, VAR helped us. I'm sure we'll come on to that. But I think we deserved it. On the balance of pay, yes, they were better first half. We were better second. But I think our second half was better than their first half. So, overall, a win was a fair result and a good result. You know, Wolves are a tough team. Gary O'Neill was a good manager. I know they had quite a few players out injured, so, you know, you could say that. But at the end of the day, you know, Premier League squads are still strong enough to be able to compete with a few players out. And it was a good result.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a vital win. As you say, it wasn't. It was a game of two halves. The first half was quite troublesome to watch. Actually, I thought we looked way off the pace. But I agree, mate. I thought the changes made were spot on, actually, from Moyes, and credit to him for that because he did get it right. And like you say, the big change that when it happened was Creswell coming on. When Bowen was taken off, obviously injured, you kind of thought, oh, what's he doing here? You know what I mean? Like you said, X, it was I think everyone's head sort of went down. Because I assumed he was just going to put him back as a sort of centre-back role and sort of to try and defend the game a little bit. I couldn't quite work out where he was going with it. But no, it was actually worked really well, didn't it, having Emerson coming further up the pitch.
Well, especially when, like you say, you've got Cornet's the obvious replacement there, you know, and if not him, Ings, and then Antonio on the wing, they're the obvious changes. But I thought, you know, he didn't do the obvious. He put Emerson there, and Emerson was on a booking as well. See, when he brought Johnson on, I was actually thinking he might want to take Emerson off here because he'd been booked. He'd given away a couple of fouls. I was worried he was going to get another yellow and then obviously be sent off. But he took that gamble. Emerson's a very important player for us, as you know, me, Dave, you, most people have alluded to on our various shows. And he turned the game, Emerson. And you know, you have to give Moyes credit for that, because all you need to do is look at social media and see when that sub was made. And I was guilty of it as well. Not on social media, but in my head of thinking, what is he doing there? But that decision proved to be a good decision, and we won, so happy days.
Yeah, it was, huge. And I'll tell you what it does do, though. It sort of casts more doubt, doesn't it, on the future of Cornet, though. He's so not trusted, is he, at all, right?
He'd
rather put a left-back forward, even though he's on a booking. He'd rather that than play Cornet. But, you know,
it's got to be one of the worst signings we've made in recent years. I mean, I don't obviously talk about Phillips as being the obvious one, and Roberto would be another. But Roberto was a free transfer, and Phillips was a loan. When you look at the amount of money we spent on him, which is about, I think, about 18 to 20 million, you know, and he's barely played. And I know last season his calf injury was described as, you know, unique and one injury in 20 years or whatever. But he's you know, he can't get in. And the thing is, when he comes on, you think he scored at Sheffield United, he got an assist at Bacchus Apollo. He's made a few contributions, but clearly Moyes just doesn't rate him. And, you know, I'm sure if a club could get him to pass his medical in the summer, then we would be more than willing to sell him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He hasn't got a future at West Ham, has he? I think it's getting more and more obvious. He just like, I mean, you'd have thought when Benrahma departed, obviously on loan with a view to going permanent, and allowing that sort of left wing position, obviously 4 hours left as well, it would have been Cornet's time to step in, but he's just not getting a look in at all. So, yeah, mate, it was a very big win though, but it was sort of shrouded in controversy a little bit, especially by the media. They've made a bit of a noise about this VAR call at the end of the game. So Max Kilman gets an equaliser, 99th minute, you know, the typical modern day added on minutes now. I've got to be honest, X, I was thought it was a goal at the time, went in, I didn't really see anything wrong with it. I was fuming at West Ham for one. I've got to be honest, can we talk about the build-up to this, actually, which hasn't been spoken about a lot. If you remember, James Ward-Prowse had a free kick, and this is like a minute before the corner, and he had a shot. And this is what does me in with West Ham. I'm just watching the game thinking, just keep the ball. Like, we're winning by one goal in an absolutely vital game. You don't need to shoot now. You don't need to be trying to make it 3-1. Just keep the ball. He then has this shot. They get the ball back, go up the other end, get the corner. And then, of course, and I'm fuming, watching it, thinking, I can't believe they've got a corner at this time of the game. And then they get basically a free header. Max Kilman comes in, scores, but it's ruled out. So, I kind of want to talk to you both two things. One, West Ham's inability, I think, at times, naivety, I'd probably call it, at the end of the game. We do struggle sometimes, don't we, to just do the same.
You know where I think that comes down to? I think you made a good point there. And again, it's that sort of in-game intelligence, and where I think this comes down to is the fact that we don't have that many leaders on the park now. James Ward-Prowse, you'd think, would have the experience and the leadership to know, like you say, that possession would be important there. But then you've got the likes of, you know, Zuma as captain. He should be telling the players, hold the ball, you know. You've got other players that you would hope, you know, if Mark Noble was on that pitch, you would like to think that he would have made sure that we held that free kick. I mean, if I'm honest with you, I can't remember that happening because I was at the game and I haven't watched it back. But I'm obviously trusting your word on that. But Mark Noble would have hopefully been able to say to them, look, keep possession, let's hold it in the corners. Yeah. We'll go back to the keeper and start again thing, but we're lacking that kind of in-game leadership, I think, at times, and that's why for me in the summer one of the key recruits has to be someone that has those leadership qualities. I mean, Max Kilman, ironically, is someone that I would like, you know, Wolves captain, and you know, he'd like to think he would have got onto that. So yeah, I agree with you, that in-game management is lacking at times. But also, when you talk about that goal, we've talked about it on the Martin Allen show, so we don't want to repeat it too much. But at the time, I thought it was a goal. I couldn't see there being a problem because obviously I was actually down the other end on the side, but down more near the other goal. So not the best view on what had happened. But, you know, typical, I think in my head, I can't believe we've let this go in the last minute. VAR comes up and you think, oh, there's no way they're going to disallow it because it never works in our favour. And then obviously it does. And it actually produces quite a funny moment because obviously the Wolves fans were giving us a load of shit at that point. So the fact that happened to them was quite good revenge, especially on the back of what we'd obviously gone through at Newcastle the weekend before. So we kind of needed that. But yeah, by the definition of the law, as we said, I think it is offside. And I can understand why they're annoyed because, as I say, it didn't interfere with play, and the ball probably would have gone in anyway, but he's blocking the keeper's vision. He's right in front of the goalkeeper, therefore stopping his ability to run out, which he may have done to claim that cross. If he hadn't been standing there, the rule is you're offside. If you're offside, he was offside. Simple in my eyes. I don't know why this decision has caused as much controversy. And also, the penalty, I think probably looking back, it was just a penalty, but it's quite soft. You know, I think Emerson won the ball largely in that incident there. I mean, it probably was a penalty, but still, that one doesn't get the attention, but this one doesn't. Thankfully, it's worked in our favour, and but I think it's the right decision. I don't see why there's been so much fuss about it, because the rule is you're offside if you're offside and he's offside. Of course, there are that time where players are running back and they're not considered interfering, but the guy's right in front of the goalkeeper. It's not like he's by the corner flag, you know? So I think it was the right decision in my eyes. And yes, I probably would have been pissed off if it was the other way round, but I would have accepted it like I had to do with some of the decisions in recent weeks for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because it does feel like... when it's West Ham, maybe just because I'm, you know, a West Ham fan and I'm pay more attention to it, but it does feel like when it's against us, we barely get any media coverage on our VAR calls. You barely hear about it. It's kind of mentioned loosely. I don't even recall remember the Jarrod Bowen, the Max Cornet goal against Chelsea getting ruled out. I think it was last season. Yeah. And that was horrendous. And I don't remember that getting much attention. And that was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life. It's like this is still being talked about in the media today about this decision against Wolves. You know what I mean? And you're thinking, like you say, I don't think it was that bloody bad. I get, like you say, X, if I was a Wolves fan, I'd be annoyed going, hang on a minute, like he hasn't really done a lot wrong here. Why is this bad? But like you say, like Martin Allen said earlier, it's in the rule book, so that is what it is. But I get it. I always try, and when I do these things, I always try and imagine what if it was the other way around, if it was a West Ham goal, where would I feel? And I know I'd be annoyed. But like you say, it wasn't completely obvious. It wasn't like, as you say, it wasn't like he was like, you know, having a cup of tea on the side of the pitch and then they've ruled it out. It's like, you know what I mean? He was standing right next to the goalkeeper. So yeah, thank God.
If he's the other thing is, mate, if he's standing in that position, why is he standing there if he's not trying to interfere with play? What's he gaining from there? Like you don't stand right in front of the goalkeeper if you don't think that's going to influence play at all, do you? You stand in front of the goalkeeper because you think it's going to block his run, it's going to put him off, it's going to block his vision or whatever. So by the fact that he's choosing to stand there obviously shows that he thinks he's interfering with play, because if he's not interfering with play, then what's he doing? You know, his team of a last minute corner, he needs to be interfering with play as best as he can. So like, I think the fact that he's right in front of the goalkeeper is enough to say that you are influencing play there, regardless of whether the keeper would have got it or not. You can't put hypotheticalness into a conversation with that, because you could argue, well, like I said, the keeper would have run out, but he didn't. The keeper would have been, I don't know, made a different decision if he wasn't distracted by the guy in front of him type thing. So you can't have that sort of dilemma. You have to go with the facts, and the facts are he was in front of the goalkeeper and offside, therefore he's offside.
I like it, mate. I like this. This is good. It's made me feel good. And it went our way. I mean, these things don't usually go away. So we just got to thank God it was about time, because it does feel like, especially the last few weeks, it's just felt like every game was a really ridiculous call against us. So it's nice finally to get one to go our way. And like we said, mate, it was such a vital 3 points. And hopefully we can carry this on, because it's certainly, you know, it's not job done yet. We've got a few more games yet. We need to get some more wins. There was a big negative in the game, though, mate. We touched on it already. Was seeing Jarrod Bowen obviously leave the field. He looked like he took a knock to his hip or his back or whatever. I'm sure that you're going to cover this more in your section, but I just wanted to touch on it. What your feelings are on Bowen, and hopefully, mate, you're going to give us a positive update later. But it's a blow, isn't it, seeing Bowen leave the field like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Whenever you lose your best players, it's a blow. And I think, thankfully, in this case, the actual changing of, as we said, Emerson coming on actually worked positively. But you never want to lose someone of Jarrod Bowen's quality. I mean, I think It's a hard, hard question to answer at this point. But if you was to ask someone who's going to win the Hammer of the Year, you'd have to put a very strong argument to go against Jarrod Bowen. I think he has got to be seriously one of the front runners for sure. So whenever you lose a player like that, it's going to be a massive blow. Hopefully it won't be too long. As I say, more will come in my section. But any loss with a player like him is going to be bad. But he's been brilliant this year. You know, his contributions constantly have been great. He's a great lad as well. You know, he's a great personality to have around the place. And so yeah, it was a big moment that could have really gone against us. But as we said earlier, credit to Moyes, they dealt with it and brought the 3 points home. Now, of course, if he misses Thursday's game, it's going to be a massive loss, but we just have to try and deal with it and have the at least we've got options like Kudos, Paquetá and Antonio as other attacking players. Years gone by, losing someone of Bowen's calibre would have been game over. It isn't game over now. We've got this a big loss, but we've still got the quality to do it without him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, hopefully you can say look forward to your section on that and hopefully provide some good news on it. But yeah, really sad to see Bowen lead the field of pills play, especially at this crucial time of the season. The last thing you need is losing your best players. I just want to quickly, before we go on to Thursday, mate, just quickly touch on the remaining Premier League games, mate. We've got a handful of games now left. Obviously, business end, it's crunch time. We need to get a certain amount of points, really, to get ourselves back into Europe next season. Obviously, we talked about how vital the Wolves win was. We've now got Fulham on Sunday in the Premier League, followed by Crystal Palace away, and then sort of the next two big games. I've got to say, I think they're both must-win games for us. I think we really do need to win them both. What's your feelings on those?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, particularly when you look, as you say, at Fulham and Palace, both of them are kind of lingering in mid-table, aren't they? Particularly Fulham. I mean, Fulham haven't had a good result for a while now. They're sort of just lingering in mid-table. It's almost like they're on the beach already. I would be disappointed if we can't beat Fulham because I think they've got nothing to play for. They're there for the taking. I would hope we'd get a result against them. Crystal Palace, again, we tend to do all right at Selhurst Park. And I think we should do it again. Again, they've not got much to play for. I know they've had a new manager reasonably recently, but that honeymoon period's kind of done now. So I would, expect 6 points. And when I look at the remaining fixtures beyond that, obviously you've got Chelsea. It's hard to predict with Chelsea at the moment because they're just so up and down. Like, you don't quite know what team you're going to get, but you might get a result there. I actually think, dare I say it, West Ham always, always influence a title race at some point when we can. Now, we've got two chances. We've got Liverpool at home. We've got Manchester City away. Now, I don't think we'll get anything from Manchester City away, but there's a part of me that thinks we could do something against Liverpool. I don't think Liverpool are as strong as their league position suggests. And if we play how we can play, I don't know. I just feel like we could upset the race a little bit by getting some points off them, and then Luton you'd hope to win as well. So
yes,
the destiny is in our hands, and as you say, it would be very good and very important. And in fact, probably you would demand it, 6 points from Fulham and Palace. Now I think that's what we've got to do if we can finish, you know, seventh, but hopefully sixth in the league. Teams that finish in those positions win those games.
Absolutely. And do you know what, mate? I've got a fair bit of confidence, actually, about it. I know we've got... It's difficult to say West Ham. Like you say about Chelsea, we're in that bracket a little bit ourselves, I find. You know, hard to predict. You know, you watch West Ham sometimes and I think that's a top six, even possibly a top four club soon. You know what I mean? The way we play. And then literally a few days later, you watch us and think we look like a team that should be in the Championship. It's so frustrating. But I do have a fair amount of confidence, but it's a big... The next couple of weeks are huge for this club, I think. So fingers crossed the injury situation is going to be not too serious. On to Thursday, though, mate. I mean, it's a humongous game, isn't it, for this club?
Yeah. Oh, massive, mate. I mean, listen, if we could get... I think... even a 1-0 loss out there isn't the end of the day, or a 2-1 loss, you know, like a goal loss margin, like what we've proven before when we've played Freiburg and Seville, and, you know, we drew at home to Lyon, didn't we? Like, you know, there's been results where the first leg hasn't been ideal, but if we can get them back to the London Stadium, great atmosphere again for the second leg, be within, you know, as I say, hopefully it won't be that case. I think we can get a result there, but I don't know. It's a hard one to judge again, because obviously Leverkusen are battering their league. You know, they're undefeated all season. They're going to win the league. They're going to stop Harry Kane winning a title again, which is funny. But, you know, they're clearly on fire this year. And Alonso is clearly a good manager. But when I look at the German league, right, you think how easily we beat Freiburg over the games that we did. And that was a team that qualified for the Europa League under them previously in the German league. I just don't think it's not like, you know, when you see Man City and they're miles ahead of the league, and you just think, oh my God, look at them. I just don't get that with Leverkusen. I don't look at their team and think that's so much better than West Ham's. And I think actually playing a non-German team and in a David Moyes team probably is a challenge that they've not had before now. I don't know, obviously, it looked like a complete fall on Friday morning. We've been battered 3-4-0. But I actually don't think it will be that. I hope that we'll be well in contention for the second leg. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to go out there. We can't sit back. We've got to go out there and, you know, play good counter-attacking football like we do in Europe. But we can't sit back and invite the pressure. We need to try and, you know, attack them as much as they do us. And we've got to go with the strongest team possible, because it's the European quarterfinal. You know, we get through that. We've got either Milan or Roma in the series. And it's sort of stuff of dreams for West Ham. So, yeah, big, massive game, mate. And, you know, you do have to take a bit of a reflection back on things at times. And I know, again, we did it on the Martin Allen show. We don't usually do it in this order. We've recorded that one before this, but it is important to think another European quarterfinal, you know, on the back of a win last year and then a semi-final the year before. This is the stuff of dreams for me in terms of West Ham. I know I'd rather, obviously, we'd be in the Champions League and actually win some domestic stuff. But if you'd said to me 10 years ago, this is what I'd be experiencing, you know, the average Grant years, for example, you'd have definitely taken it. And I think, you know, next season, if we can get into Europe again, we can start to attract the likes of Kudos, and as we have done previously, and the squad gets even better. So, you know, it's happy times. And that's why I've always urged these fans that are so negative at the moment, your negativity is not achieving anything other than being negative. Just try and enjoy where we are, and let's just address the situation at the end of the season when we have the facts. I just enjoy it for what it is now.
Absolutely, it is. It is a really exciting time to be a West Ham fan, and I'm buzzing. Like, it's to say that we're going against, you know, the German champions, because they are going to be winning that league by the looks of it. And the fact that we've got a chance, and yeah, we're not being written off. I quite like the fact that we're going into it as underdogs, though. I think it feels like we're being written off by a lot of fans. Actually, when you talk to other fans, they sort of think we've got absolutely no chance. But I've actually got a bit of confidence. Like you say, yes, they're doing well in Germany, but the German league's not the Premier League. Let's just get it right.
Look at Karabakh. You know, that's a team from Azerbaijan. They almost knocked them out in the last round. They were very unlucky, you know. And if you was to say, you know, a team from Azerbaijan, no disrespect to there, but, you know, you're not talking top league there, are you? And they nearly knocked them out. So it is doable.
And you wonder what their hunger is in this, because they're going to win the league and they're going to be in the Champions League next season, regardless of what happens in the Europa League. So effectively, it's just a trophy that's waiting for them. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure they'll want to win it. I'm not suggesting they don't care about it. But you wonder where their minds are at. Like, are they going to be completely going, breaking their backs to beat West Ham? I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that if we can go into it and show some real hunger and desire, we can get this done. But I mean, it's going to be tough, and obviously the toughest game of it will most likely be at their place on Thursday. So if we can come out of that,
I mean, obviously Dave and I have been to Frankfurt, we've been to Freiburg, and the atmospheres German stadiums, and fair play to them. It is unbelievable. So the atmosphere will be intense. But as I say, we've done it. We've done it before. You know, we can do it again. I just think we need to take this game positively and just think, you know, if Leverkusen were in the Premier League, would they be as much a threat as Arsenal away? I don't know. We went and got 3 points there. So you've got to try and think positively. And at the bare minimum, that second leg, we still need to be within a good chance of getting through. And then I think we will.
I agree. It's exciting times, mate. Exciting times. Right. It's over to you, X, for your section. And hopefully some good news about Bowen.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.